Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The rainy and cold season is just around the corner. And if you or you know someone suffering from different skin conditions, United Home, manufactured by Unilab, offers products to help with just that for you and your family. Starting with United Home Dermatec, you won't have to deal with psoriasis or eczema because it has mometasone cream or ointment that can provide relief for your itchy, red, and scaly skin. Plus, United Home Dermatec is only at half price and available in all leading drugstores online. They also have United Home Whitfield's, the number one Whitfield's ointment in the market that helps treat alipunga, buni, an-an, and a lot more fungal infections. If your main concern naman is pimples and scabies or galis, United Home Sulfant Ointment can soften and loosen the crusts on the skin and can destroy itch mite. There has never been a better time than now to try and keep you and your family safe and healthy with United Home. Avail yours now in Mercury Drug and other leading drugstores nationwide, or click the link in the description and welcome United Home in your homes. Sabi nga ng mga nanay, United Home.
Podcast Network Asia.
I realized, yeah, I may be imbalanced in the sense that I should like tone it down, but I realized this is me. This is who I am. This is like, I'm not doing this to hurt people. I'm not doing this to, you know, with the intention of getting noticed or making, you know, being out there for nothing.
You're listening to Project Loving Myself Podcast, a well-being podcast that shares stories of self-love, mental fortitude, and self-discovery. Hosted by life designer and well-being coach, Sanaya Gurnamal.
Hi, I'm Sanaya Gurnamal, and this is the Project Loving Myself Podcast. Join me each week as we navigate through aha moments, new ideas, and flashes of insight from candid conversations that inspire you to get started on your own project of loving yourself. Because the most important relationship you will ever have is the relationship that you have with yourself. You matter.
This is Project Loving Myself.
Aloha peeps, and welcome to season 4 with a whole new lineup of very interesting people who spark joy for me. It is so much fun for me to talk to the different personalities that I meet through the podcast. They inspire me, they teach me, and they help me share my message of self-love, well-being, and self-discovery. Because you know our mantra, right? The most important relationship we will ever have is the relationship we have with ourselves. And that is one relationship we have to prioritize. You got to choose yourself day after day so that you don't fall to the bottom of your own list. Now, let me start today's episode with a little story. A few years after I married my husband and moved to the Philippines, I went to see the Wicked musical at CCP Theater. When I came out of the performance, I saw a beautiful vision at a distance from me. There was a woman wearing the most exquisite gown and headdress. And if memory serves me well, she was wearing an emerald green gown. I looked at her in complete awe and thought to myself, now that's a woman who just exudes confidence and adventure. I wanted to get to know her better. What an impression she made on me. So I turned to my husband next to me and I asked, babe, who is that? And he said, "Oh, that's Tessa Valdez." And that was it. That name said it all. From that day onwards, I continued to see Tessa at various events, always from a distance, always admiring her self-expression. She has a presence, a charisma, an allure that draws a person in. And that is an energy I would love to cultivate for myself. We talked to Tessa Prieto Valdez today on Project Loving Myself to learn more about self-expression and what her story really is. Tessa Prieto Valdez is a host, both on screen and on stage, an interior designer with her own firm, Tessa Group, an actress, lifestyle columnist, and above all, a fashion icon. Her personality is larger than life, and that is the way she chooses to express herself. Tessa is passionate about elevating Philippine fashion, arts, and culture, which she does through events such as the Red Charity Gala, which helps small livelihood communities, Red Cross, and Philippine arts. But that is only a small glimpse of this very impressive woman who refers to herself as Sea Princess. Welcome to Project Loving Myself, Tessa.
Hello there. Hi, what an introduction. And I remember that musical. And the reason why I was actually there also is because I was so delighted to receive the donation from the entire production that evening. Because we had a big storm, Yolanda or something, and they coursed their donations of all the artists and all the funds that was gonna be for that evening and to go for the survivors. It's like, wow, I didn't know that you were there. That's just like, oh wow. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm so happy to be here. So happy.
You're very welcome. And I don't think even I did you justice, Tessa, because, you know, from that day forward, you have been this person that everywhere you go, you make this really amazing impact. So I'm really excited to talk to you personally and kind of get to know a little bit more about you.
It's amazing how, you know, in this world, like, energies just like, you know, bumping to each other and not knowing. And somehow it's so, I would say, like prophetic that I'm here now with you. And I have to say that we were in this, juggling schedules just to get this airing time. And I'm so happy to be here now because I think I have more to sort of share at this moment of my life as I am going through a very exciting and maybe I wouldn't say it's like a transition. It's more like a opening up of possibilities is what I would say.
It sounds very exciting, Tessa. So I want to know all about this as we go on and talk in today's episode. So to start with, Tessa, tell me about this name, Sea Princess, because it's your Instagram handle. Even, yes. In the Inquirer, you refer to yourself as Sea Princess. So tell me about that. Okay, what's the story?
Almost like maybe 30 years ago, I got into scuba diving. And a really good friend of mine who actually introduced me to my husband, she was my diving instructor. And then we were caught in the middle of the ocean and we had like sea pirates, circling our dive boat. And Gigi now says, there's no one here. There's no princess here and stuff. We only have the sea princess. And so at the kind of stuck and they were like, there was a show of arms. It was really scary at that time because, these pirates just like, come inside, loot stuff in, and then leave. And so, and because we don't have much of the Coast Guard, it was in Tubataha, in this really remote area, we were really scared. But at that time, we were just joking about it. And they were like saying, you know what, the only royalty here is like me. I just presented my own royal. I have like my own, ocean kingdom and stuff. And so that name stuck. So I became the Sea Princess. And then my husband, who was living in Hong Kong then, became the HK Pirate. And so that's his sort of handle. And so we became, you know, the Sea Princess and the HK Pirate. And it kind of stuck already because people know my love for the ocean. I have several advocacies wherein I you know, save the seas. We've had actually for our 25th wedding anniversary, we sort of donated into 25 reefs. So, you know, because, you know, it the ocean now is our only, if ever, really a source of life. And it's because we are like islands, a lot of it has not been protected from dynamite fishing, from, you know, people just throwing ocean and plastic and stuff, you know. And so I have had, ever since then, apart from all the advocacies that I help, I have like Save the Seas Foundation, wherein it really supports the fishermen and all their livelihoods. So that's sort of the long and short of it. And everybody already knows me as a Sea Princess. And so, you know, because of the way I dress and everything else. So, you know, and that stuck already. So it became sort of my legacy as well.
Which I love. I mean, it's more than just a name. It stands for so much in your life and has so much meaning. And I think that when every time someone says Sea Princess, it kind of brings up those advocacies. It brings up, you know, all those references. And I think that, you know, that's the persona that you also exude. And people feel that, people sense that, even though it's just a word, I think it carries with it so much energy, which is so beautiful.
Yeah. They say it's like, is that made up or now that I'm a grandmother, do I change it to Sea Queen or whatever? And you know, and I think it's like me personally, it's sort of my hashtag of some sort and it really represents me. But of course, everybody knows me as Tessa. And I think it's like, if you come to my world, I have this thing about, you know, I'm very contagious in the sense that if you feel like they keep saying I'm the happy pill of everyone. And I have the knack of really inspiring people and getting out of them of their shell. And I believe in like, you know, finding your true purpose in life. And I've had sort of like, you know, I've been so blessed and I feel that I've come to this world for, you know, like empowering women or things like that. And I have an advocacy, of course, for kids as well. So I started this foundation with my high school classmates. It's called, you know, Assumption 81 Foundation.
Okay.
Wherein what we do is we raise funds for various projects and then we give the money. So instead of like, I noticed that there are a lot of projects there that don't have funding. They spend so much on, you know, trying to, you know, raise money and everything. So I said, like, why don't we just help those other projects that are already existing and just continuously just help various people that are sort of like, you know, based on that will help in education, you know, women empowerment or really just bettering the lives of people by, you know, promoting as well fashion. And so that came to be with a Red Charity Gala with my friend Kay Tinga. We've had a great 11-year run. Now we are sort of figuring out how to reboot it because it's everything that COVID or the pandemic is not allowing. And, you know, and it's pretty, I mean, COVID hit us really hard in that sense that now it's like, how do we get donations where companies are already also bleeding or, you know, it's pretty hard up already. So we have several meetings on how to sort of reboot it, and we're pretty excited about that plan.
Well, I think, you know, there's change all across the board in so many different ways of operating. The old ways don't apply anymore, and I think that stress that forces us to be a little bit more creative, or perhaps even approach things differently. So where before it was fundraising and it was, you know, it was charity, I wonder if this pandemic makes us look at things differently. Like, how do we actually you know, help people? How do we create change? How do we create transformation when we're all in this kind of weird space of struggling with our own stuff, right?
I know, you know, it's really more a realization of, I think personally for me, what the pandemic has brought to me is focus on what is really important to me and what I love.
Yeah.
And of course, it's family firstly. Then I've become more sort of God-centered and more spiritual and more meditative. And I realized that I've also been remiss in my family in the sense that I party every night and, you know, and half of that is also for my charities and stuff. And I've sort of like, because of the pandemic and staying home, I realized, you know, in the end, it's all about family. It's all about, what really matters most. And in the end, how nice that I raised my kids sort of like how my parents are, that we continue to, you know, do our charitable works. And my daughter, who now lives in Siargao, I sent a plane to pick her up. And with relief, I said, like, I'm going to send you relief and then have the plane come back with you.
Wow.
But she said, Mom, I'm going to stay here because I'm going to help build. Such as, you know, Siargao was one of the worst hits.
Yeah.
In the recent death storm. And so it was so heartwarming to see that, hey, that my daughter is continuing what and in, you know, her values as well. So to this day, she has helped build like 180 homes, you know, providing them roofing material and whatever she can. And she raised half of that on her own. And of course, I support her. But it's like how we now, even if we value family and just, you know, and just creating that thing, we still have a real purpose in life is also to give back.
Right.
And, you know, because I also have this thing about, it's called a Saturn return, wherein I'm in my third cycle, wherein I'm already legacy building or you know, sort of what my purpose is in life here. And I can just like, you know, wake up and do nothing. But I said, you know, in this crossroad in my life, I feel there is something else that I'm meant to do. And I feel that sort of transforming, getting back into the digital world for a purpose. And that's where I'm going to have you also be part of my journey.
I would
love
that.
And have this new, you know.
Yeah, I think that, Tessa, you've really... you know, in the physical world, you've made your mark, right? And now that things have changed into that more digital space, I'm actually also looking forward to seeing how, you know, you move from that into this completely different virtual world. And we're all trying to figure that out, right? Everyone who is doing something that is impact driven or contributing or being of service to other people, which is what you do essentially, is it's about how do we translate what we were doing before into this new world and the new way of doing things. And doing so while making sure we are also in the best state of mental health and well-being, right? Because Tessa, before it was like the other people needed help, like people outside of us. But now all of us with the pandemic are also kind of in search or in need of support and help. And so suddenly that demarcation of like the people who have their life together and the people who needed help has kind of blurred, right? And that's why...
Exactly. And it's more like, you know, how you can't anymore give the excuse of, I don't have time, it's traffic, you know, I have to attend this and that and that. All that has been cleared. You have no more excuse into really discovering your it's called like the Japanese call it the ikigai, wherein, you know, you find your passion, your profession, your, you know, what's really meant for you to be, your niche in this world. And before I used to say, I have no time to really, you know, whether meditate or whatever, because I need to like rush to something or there's traffic or whatever. And so now that all those excuses have been really cleared out from your schedule, then you go back to basics on like, who am I or my reason of being? It's now time to figure that out.
Right. The most important question is now, why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly. And it's not like it's life is still a journey. It's not that you have the answers, but then you are going from point A to point B without, you know, having all these detours that are not necessary, because you realize that, okay, filter that out. It's been filtered actually already, because then, you know, I'm not obligated to go to a party and talk to people that I, you know, it's like sometimes it also gets toxic, you know what I mean? And so now I choose and spend my time really wisely into something that will help with my growth and help with the direction of where I want to be. And somehow, I think because I've been also more prayerful and circumstances and situations come up to me, it's sort of like answered prayers, sort of, through people just hooking up and finding, you know, I said, like, I still want to figure out how to, because we have been known with Kay, with Red Charity, through Red Charity Galas, really promotion of Philippine fashion, which of course has taken the greatest hit in, because of the pandemic, for the many reasons, like, you know, it's not a necessity, people are not partying out and whatever. And it's sad because it's not just the designer, it's the beaters, the sewers, the stage production, the lighting. There's just a whole big of you know, of people that benefit,
right,
from all the events that happen, and now they're what? I mean, like, they can't find work. And so we wanna sort of figure out a way wherein we can still continue that in a more, I don't know, sustainable or just baby steps to start bringing fashion back and really just getting the business and the economics of making, like, giving jobs to the beaters and the sewers and everything. We don't know how yet. I mean, it's a monumental task, but at least we are trying to do something still, you know, and not just leave it like, you know, a dying business. It's sad because, you know, we have very little cultural support when it comes to, you know, if ever in government, because again, we are struggling just to make ends meet for most people. And so the arts and culture has died, and, you know, everything, even the small weavers for the banig, it's like those native floor mats and stuff, and basket weaving. I mean, it's sad, but maybe somehow it'll, like I say,
revive.
Just pray.
Yeah.
and the energy will just come in someone, you know.
But Tessa, a lot of people have had to struggle with that same situation where what they once did no longer works, applies, no longer is relevant. You know, people talk about pivoting. People talk about going in a new direction. And the same obviously is happening to the fashion industry. I had Raho on one of my episodes. I've talked to a lot of people also within the industry. And it's sort of, you can see everyone is also looking for a new direction, which seems to correspond to their own personal journey as well, right? So it's them as the fashion, you know, icon or the designer. And then it's also what they're going through individually. And somehow it feels like there's a parallel there. And as we start to find ourselves and we find that joy and that happiness and purpose and direction, it also gives us a bit more clarity on what must change in the way we're doing things, or what, you know, direction we can now change.
Yes, exactly. And like, you know, Rao's a really good friend, and he spoke about how to revive, you know, the beaters and sort of having other products, bags, jewelry, accessories and all. And it's nice that because we are sort of forced into evolving all of a sudden, now everything we do is more purposeful.
Yeah.
And it's more direct in the sense that we don't need anymore to sort of justify to other people what we're doing.
Yeah.
Before I was like telling Kay, when we started Red Charity Gala, we got so much people who started bashing us in the sense that why don't you just give the money instead of hosting a dinner and a fashion show and stuff like that. And you know, it's like at that time we were like always defending ourselves. I said, like, look at all the people that have jobs because of this. But now we realize we don't have to defend what we're doing because we know what we are doing is for the good of helping livelihood. And for us, it really doesn't matter to them what their opinion is, in the sense that we know what our purpose is. We know what our goal is. We know who we want to help. And if they can make noise about, you know, whatever, it's their own privilege or you know, they're entitled to their own opinion. So now that, you know, me and Kay are thinking, I actually, just to briefly say what it is, it's more like we sort of want to do an auction of pre-loved luxury goods. And so, you know, we're going to make the it's more like putting a personality to it. Like if it's an LV bag and stuff, it's been worn by, you know, like good friends of ours. And then, you know, celebrities and stuff. And then we'll put it out in auction. It's all good slowly and all fully for whatever livelihood we have.
And, yeah.
And nice, because then people get excited. Then we're actually going to have a physical, you know, event for it and a half online. So people of all, you know, if they like that, they want to have a bag owned by Heart or something, or, you know, some celebrity, then, you know, there's a story to tell. And it's still, it's like, okay, you're actually donating, but you're getting something back in return.
Right.
A wonderful, you know, pair of shoes or whatever. So, you know, it's nice. So that's happening soon. For this next month is going to be Women's Empowerment, you know, March.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that. So that's what we're going to do. And then we'll, like, maybe it'll snowball in something bigger and, you know, get, and just to create again. I really believe everything's energy.
Yeah.
The pandemic has created so much negativity, so much, you know, hopelessness and just a dark cloud over life. And so it's shifting. It's a matter of shifting our mindset into, like, the universe actually doesn't know right or wrong, in the sense that if the energy you put out there is negative every day you wake up, then the energy will give you back what you asked for.
Yeah.
And I realized it's a mindset, a shift change, and it's just like wake up in the morning with a grateful heart and then, you know, do whatever, the energy will just go back to you in whatever you want. You know, I believe in manifestations and just manifest what's really clear to you. And of course, you know, it has to be, of course, intrinsically something that's going to be good for you and for the world.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, Tessa, I want to know a little bit more about how you got to this point, because just in what you're telling me, I can hear there's so much sort of wisdom that's come in, or there's been a lot of personal growth for you, whether it's through the pandemic or through your own life. Tell me a little bit about the person you started out as and how you got here. So I know a couple of things about, like, I did a bit of research and I know that you were kind of more of a shy person.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I was an introvert.
You were an introvert.
And, you know,
you didn't want to stand
out.
Can
you imagine me?
Yeah. Total opposite, like, from what we see today.
Totally opposite. I was wearing black every day. I was like sort of in the punk era and stuff. And then I was also a single mom at that time and going out with a lot. And I was just, I mean, I would call that my experimental phase in life. And my brother, who became sort of my father figure to my son, died in a motorcycle accident, and he was like 30, 32. And I felt when he passed away, here's a guy destined to be the president of Inquirer and everything, super healthy, life of the party, so many girlfriends, so many great ideas. He's a very, you know, very creative entrepreneur. And he put up the first sort of THX theater and everything, and then he passes away, and it was more like an awakening for me, wherein life's so short. It's like you never know, and you don't have to live your life based on what other people's expectations are. And, you know, I came out of my shell, in the sense that instead of getting into, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, like I got into, you know, my freedom of expression, of clothes, and just living life like everything is part. I mean, like, you know, I was also trying to find myself, and I was also confused in that time. And then after that, I met Dennis, and so he sort of became my anchor, because, you know, I was also very, like, I would say experimental, in the sense, if you know what I meant, and mean. And so he became my anchor. And so since I found that he was like my, you know, my stabilizing factor, I could go wild, in the sense I didn't have to like be reserved anymore and stuff. And so I guess because I was also exposed to all the designers who really said, like, oh, they found me a muse, wherein they day in, day out, they do normal, basic wedding gowns, debut. And me is like, sky's the limit. Just as long as there's no, you know, nudity or anything, I can wear anything, something that lights up, something made out of plastic, something out of my newspaper, something, whatever, beats it. Like, if, even if it weighs 30 kilos, I'll carry it, you know, all the way. And then, you know, in fact, I wore a Raho gown. It looked like one of the Disney princesses. And I wore that gown to the, I don't know if you know that movie. It was one of those Enchanted or something, or I don't even know what the movie is.
Okay.
And so when I went, I was invited to go to the opening in LA, and the other guests there, or the other kids, they say, are you a Disney princess? What part of the movie are you, you know, and stuff, you know, and things like that is, I'm always a representative of Philippine fashion whenever I go abroad, and, you know, I wear accessories, and then you don't want to be behind me in the, when I pass through the airport. You know, when you have to remove everything, I dress like this going traveling.
Wow.
And my husband keeps saying, why do you even bother? You like to be, never mind, it's me, you know, whatever. Just take out all the accessories so I don't ring. And I still pass through the security thing. I still ring because I forgot some earrings and stuff. And because of that, and because I've been known, I'm like sort of not upping my game, but I always want to be in theme and in appreciation of, you know, whatever they're hosting. Like, I came to a sort of a tree lighting Christmas thing, and I was the Christmas tree, you know, it's stuff like that. I really go out of my way, because for me, again, it's not to call attention, because the people were like telling me, oh, you must have had a, you know, sucky childhood where you never had attention and everything. And I said, you know what? You can, I'm not, if you call me outrageous or, you know, flamboyant or whatever, I said, like, I can't call you, hey, you're so ordinary. You know, it works the same way. I mean, like, really, it's like, should I call you out? No, but you know what? Go ahead.
Right.
And when people like sort of, you know, copy me or try to, you know, I said, I get so flattered. I mean, like they say, you know, it's flattery. It's the best.
It's the best form of imitation is the best form of flattery. Correct. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I am the person that they always say, oh, you want to have a picture? I said, like, yeah, sure. I mean, I have been told that everyone around me has, I am such a, what do you call that? A ball of energy that I'm so contagious,
yeah.
Which is like, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. And you know,
it's a great way to describe you, Tessa. I mean, there's only one Tessa, and you know, it's true. Like, that energy, I can imagine, just goes out for like miles. You know,
yeah.
Like, I and noticed like, you.
Oh, you're the gay. Yeah, you know, right?
I felt
and then they
you.
Said, oh, you're the Lady Gaga of the Philippines. I was like, hell, I'm older than her. I was worse than her. she's the sea princess of the Philippines.
Yeah.
Of the U.S.
And yeah.
And with me, it's it's like they've asked, are you always like happy? Or, you know, of course I have downtime. It's not that, you know, but I've also learned because of the passing away of my brother that we have really a short time here. And so I'm always that, you know, over the top and like, you know, half empty, half full. I'm not even looking at it like it's half full. I'm looking at it overflowing, and it's like a champagne flute, like overflowing with champagne. And there's enough to go around.
But Tessa,
and I'm like that. I just love unconditionally, you know.
But Tessa, how did you get there? Like, what I want to understand, because most people have self-doubt. Most people are afraid to stand out. You know, most people second guess themselves. They care what other people think of them. I mean, you have none of those. Like, you are like the most unafraid to be yourself person that I've probably talked to on the show and probably who I've, you know, come across. So what,
yes,
what makes you that way? How does someone get there?
You know how, when people gravitate to you and then their energies they kind of want to feel that they need a leader of some sort to make their lives happier, or, you know, and so I have become sort of like assigned or chosen to be that person. And if I don't step up or deliver, I feel I've let them down. And in every small thing, whether it's raising funds for, you know, the boats for the fishermen, or even like, you know, what we have in school, like our homecoming dance or something, I sort of always want to step up and take the lead, maybe. And because of that, I guess you also grow from all the experiences in the past. And so I can't say I have become the most confident person, you know, and everything. I still have fears. I still have fears of, you know, what if nobody shows up or nobody bids for the items, or that, you know, I'm going to like be old and wrinkly. I mean, like normal stuff, but I just choose not to dwell on it. And because I've had now, I'm telling you now, I'm going through this journey, and it's sort of it's a transformation of who I am. Going through a split up in my marriage, and so now I realize that there's all sorts of therapy out there, beginning with retail therapy, number one helpful thing.
My favorite,
of course. And then there's like trauma therapy. There's equine with, you know, horses. There's psychotherapy, there's the psychiatrist. And of course, I'm also into energy. So there's the angel reader, there's the psychic, there's the, you know, yeah, everything. My org chart of healing is the most extensive. That's why I'm telling you that I want to start off this sort of, it's sort of a version of Tinder wherein you can find your matching therapist.
Yeah.
In that sense. And it's going to be sort of more fun. And, you know, I believe that in my journey, I'm able to be where I am now, partly because of laughter and my crazy sense of humor. If not, I would be really depressed, really, you know, why? And now it's not anymore why, but why not?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, like, all of a sudden, all the possibilities are out there. And then now I'm more excited about not trying to fix something in the past, but trying to open myself to being more whole, in the sense that, hey, I have a bigger and brighter purpose of not just being a wife or, you know, a mother. I'm still all that.
Yes.
I'm still all that, but now it's not the center of who I am or what I am in the future. It's more like, yes, that life has been there. Yes, I'm not going to dwell on trying to fix it, because it was wonderful. It's been 26 years of incredibly awesome and wonderful travels, adventures, and everything. But it's over, in the sense that it was a wonderful part of my life, and now there's even going to be a brighter future.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm not like closing the doors to whatever. It's just now there's just more doors that are open.
Yeah.
More doors.
Right.
And windows and everything.
Possibilities. So, that's the possibilities. That's the possibility. You see the possibilities. Yeah. And
I see it now. It's been a year. I'm not gonna lie where I didn't say I was in like totally like, you know, it consumed me. And I was like, you know, if I had to be, I was in black, which is like, you know, with feathers.
Your special so, flair of black.
And you know what? I'm not yet there, but I'm closer. It's a journey, and I'm happy. I'm happy with my, you know, transformation.
Amazing.
You deserve to feel comfortable in your own skin. Lalo na sa pabago-bagong panahon. Kaya na yon palang, turn to the most trusted all-purpose medicine products like United Home. United Home, manufactured by Unilab, created three different products that target different skin conditions to help you survive the everyday grind without any distractions or discomfort. Starting with United Home Dermatech, the best solution for itch caused by skin conditions like psoriasis, atopic dermatitis, or eczema. This is also available at half price in all leading drugstore brands. So make sure to include this on your shopping list or grocery list. Next, they have the number one Whitfield's ointment in the market. United Home Whitfield's helps treat alipunga, buni, an-an, and a lot more fungal infections. And if you're suffering from acne and scabies or galis, United Home Sulfant can soften and loosen the crusts on the skin and can destroy the itch mite that causes galis. Try and welcome United Home to your homes today by availing these products in Mercury Drug and other leading drugstore brands nationwide, or by clicking the link in the description. And see how much better life can be when itch doesn't stand in the way. Sami nga ng mga nanay, United Home.
So what you talk about, Tessa, is the Project Loving Myself journey that I keep talking about on the podcast. It's that journey to self-love. You also mentioned how, you know, you were the mother, the wife, and all those things. And those are the roles we play. And of course, we want to do it to the best of our ability, but that's not who we are. Who we are is what we are here for. And that's a different journey when you recognize that and you start that. And when you get on that, that's when all those possibilities show up. And so I love how, you know, you're describing exactly that. And it's such a beautiful space to be in, to look at the future with those bright eyes and to see the possibility of everything that can be. And you aren't restricted to anything.
Exactly. And, you know, we sort of start off, and it actually makes it clear for us to have our roles. You know, it's defined. You're a mother, a wife, designer and stuff like that. But then we forget to see the bigger picture of who we really are. I mean, all that are like components to who we are.
Yeah.
But we also put ourselves aside because also we're, you know, women, we have the tendency to, you know, love ourselves less because we sort of have to be the beacon of light of everybody else. But then, you know, how do you become the source of the light if you yourself has been dimmed out, or, you know, your bulb is already diffused?
Yeah.
And so, you know, with everything from meditation, morning meditations, prayers, Bible studies, everything, you just need to feed yourself, especially this. I think that's what the pandemic, you know, you also have to, because now all of a sudden everybody's alerted with mental health.
Yeah.
Before it's like, what's that? You know, kids nowadays, you know, they're just being naughty. But now, no, they're ADHD or whatever, you know, all of a sudden. And the sad part is everything is now a medication.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I mean, you need to address the illness or the disorder with like internalizing, I mean, like, I, of course, with medication, but you're not really curing the trauma,
the root cause
that is there. Yes. The root cause.
We have to discover and uncover and process and, you know, unpack what needs to be unpacked, and then understand, you know, for anything to heal or to resolve. And I guess we're only starting to recognize how important that is, because even medication is failing us.
Yeah, exactly. And one of my therapists said also, because of who I am as a person now, I'm so confident, I'm so driven, I'm so expressive, I'm an extrovert. My inner child has been if ever, brutally pained, because I've been accepting all these, you know, the betrayal and everything else as an adult. And I said, oh, I can get over it, and not processing it. And my inner child's been crushed and stuff. So I needed to go through, you know, those trauma healing wherein, you know, you regress and stuff like that. And I realized I have abandonment issues. And so I tend to just suck up all the, you know, you hit me here, I can take it. But my inner child has been really suffering already.
Yeah.
So this is like the healing that I need. So I do a daily meditation of the inner child and stuff, because there is all this, I guess you just like download podcast for inner child healing and stuff. And again, it's all balancing, like, you know, work-life balance, even in your mental state and all, and getting all this clarity and really spending time. Thank God I had that time to really cleanse and really erase all the damage that I've done to my inner child. And, you know, it's still not yet, because I still have a tendency to be, because of my unconditional love and understanding and forgiveness, I realize that as an adult, I can take that, but internally, my morals and everything cannot. So I need to sort of, hey, take a back step and say, you know, let's heal together.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard, because how do you explain that in the real world? You know?
Yeah, of course. You know, I work with inner child therapy a lot with my clients, Tessa. So I'm also really glad that you brought it up and shared your story, because in my work with my clients, what I help them to see is that what is not a big deal to you as an adult is a huge deal to you as a child, right? So as the adult brain can be like, oh, you know, my parents were, you know, busy, or my parents had this going on. But as a child, you don't understand that, right? You're like, why am I not getting the attention when I want to show my parent this drawing that I made, but they're too busy to look at it? So the child, that little child, feels hurt, but the adult in you can be like, oh, you know, it's not a big deal. It was just a drawing I did when I was a child.
Yeah.
So to heal the inner child, we have to go down to the level of the child. We have to meet that child, you know, where she's at, and sort of help her deal with it with our adult perspective, but
exactly
recognizing what that child was feeling, which is us actually, that has not been sort of, you know, healed and processed and recognized.
And I wouldn't have had all these, you know, realizations if I didn't have to go through my breakup. So again, so many silver linings. Again, I'm closer to my children. I'm having a better relationship with them, and trying to heal my inner child. So all this I wouldn't have discovered if I hadn't gone through that sort of, I can call it a trauma and all. And I'm glad that I've had this chance, and I'm not like in my 80s already that I realize all that. And when your question about who you are and blamed or you know, sort of blindsided, then you realize, hey, was I really selfish? Then you start questioning, even if how confident you are, or that you're sure that it's the other party's fault, and then you start questioning.
Yeah, the doubt.
And of course, for me, yes, I understand how it came to be. So I'm learning from it, you know, I'm growing from it. And if my partner, or my husband can't see that, then, you know, then that's his own journey. I've learned. I'm now already, you know, they say seven stages of grief, and then all, you know.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, I have all the possible self-help books. I mean, like I can, I'm now a guru into how to heal from all this.
But you know, it shows Tessa, because the fact that you can see all the positive things that came out of it, right? Like finding out who you are, dealing with your inner child. Mm-hmm. You talked about the closer relationship with your children. When you see all the good that the challenge brings, you're already there. You know, you've actually mm-hmm. healed. You have processed. You have kind of come to an understanding of why this needs to happen, why this needed to happen. And when you recognize that mm-hmm. it's not your fault or somebody else's fault or a third person or a fourth right. person, and nothing anybody says actually matters, because it had mm-hmm. to happen for you to get to where you
it
are today.
It had to happen. It had to happen. And again, in God's perfect time, or you know, everything, they always say everything happens for a reason, but it does.
It really
and you know how they say time heals everything? It does.
It does.
And it's just that me, I'm like, you know, I'm like so gung-ho and hurry up with that new hot guy. Hurry up with that, you know,
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
Then I realize I am so blessed with so much love and family, friends. I don't need another person. If I do, that will come as a, you know, and it's time.
It's a,
and I don't also want to get into something that I'm not ready for.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
So nice. So nice that, again, all the possibilities, again, spending time with my parents as well. You know, it's really nice to reconnect with them, and hopefully we'll be able to travel to Australia for Holy Week. So, again,
a lot.
I'm always grateful and a lot yeah. exciting new things.
A lot to look forward to. And
a lot.
And another thing I wanted to point out, Tessa, you said, you know, you're almost like you're like a self-help or a well-being guru at this point. And if you didn't need to go through all that healing, you wouldn't get to this place, and you wouldn't have the idea of what if I could connect people to all these different tools that are out there, like your yeah. your Tinder idea. I mean, none of this would have happened, which might be something.
I didn't even know that. I know. I didn't even know like equine therapy exists. And that's, you know, with like you're supposed to lead the horse and all that. It's such a big realm of like, you know, healing
yeah.
that can go on, whether it's like, you know, going through a labyrinth of some sort. I went to the US, I went to like, it's called place called Miraval. It's a wonderful healing place. And then in New Mexico, Santa Fe, I mean like, wow, I've never been to all these, you know, mystical places. And because I also had a session with a shaman,
wow,
like a really an Indian sort of thing with sage and all. Wow. I'm telling you now, I can write a book about.
So when people take like 20, 30 years of going through, you have done in mm-hmm. like 1 year.
Yes, exactly. And I'm so eager to share my knowledge and really start this app wherein, you know, and everything. It has to be with also like, I want to deal with like sex and with women in their 50s or how to get back into the dating scene,
yeah.
you know, and because actually, there are actually, you know, maybe self-help things, but then experience is a tell-all. I mean, I'm speaking from experience.
It's the biggest teacher.
I'm speaking, yeah. It's the best teacher,
yeah.
and something, you know, and even if, and I can speak from it from the heart, because I've had it. I've had to go through all that pain and all that growth and all that evolution. And it's really something that's getting me excited that, you know, I have some friends going through thing, or like also even like going back to a marriage that's been faulted for 5 years and now they're back, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Again, it's really being aware of really knowing who you are and what you are meant for. And again, your reason for being, I keep saying that if that's being questioned, being attacked, that you're not grounded in what basic inside, that's why I think it's really inside to get aligned with your inner child and everything. If that's bombarded with all that negativity, you're going to spiral down and be so depressed. I know that I could have done that. I could have gone to that direction, but you know, I've had so many friends like like a really good friend, Vina Francisco. She was the one who brought me to Miraval, found these things for me. I mean, like, your support group is really important, aside from your family.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy. Of course, if ever you dad to ask me, I'm in maybe a 90-10. And my therapist said, the 90, I'm okay already. But the 10%, which is like regret, why, doubt, and everything, will never be erased. You can never look back and look at for me personally, my 26 years with sadness in it, because it was so wonderful. That will always be there. That will always be part of my life, which is I view it with all the love and happiness. And that's what it is.
Tessa,
whether we go back or not, that's what it is.
Have you tried theta healing?
I have had it in the past, but not yet. Do you do theta healing?
Yes.
I'm gonna go to you.
Yeah, yeah. I actually have taught pretty much everyone here who is a theta healer, including a friend of yours, Roseanne, is also a theta healer. Yeah,
oh my goodness.
She's been my student. So that 10% that you talk about, that I'm very confident theta healing could resolve for you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I thought it was more like it's a given. It will never be.
No.
I'll never be 100%.
No.
Oh, really?
No, I think that with theta healing, you'll look back at the same situation and that 10% becomes, again, like the recognition of how important those life events were or those situations were, and a profound gratitude for all of those things happening without the regret, without all that little, things that poke us every now and then.
Wow. I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm very confident to say that could be taken care of. But I wanted to point out something, Tessa. After talking to you for this while that we've been, conversing, I recognize one thing about you. And I want you to tell me if you agree with me. The reason why you've always been very successful, whether it's standing out, making your impact, your mark, the Red Charity, a gala, all these different things you've done, including your ability to heal yourself from this breakup, right? Which is a major thing in your life, which I'm so confident. I mean, you're already there, but even what you're thinking about doing for the future, right? It's like you are a guaranteed success story because it's never about you. I recognize that from everything you've said. When you wear those flamboyant outfits, when you are showing up to events in these costumes or these, personas, it's not about you. You're thinking about all the people that you impact. You're thinking about Philippine fashion that highlighting in
that.
The US, when you're attending in that princess costume or princess outfit, you're thinking about the visibility that you are bringing to all those people who maybe don't have that access, that reach, or that voice. And so you're always thinking about what you can do with what you have, who you can serve, who you can give back to, even now you're going.
Okay, I'm
going to
cry now.
But it's true, Tessa.
Oh my God, it's so beautiful. Passionate. It's so wonderful. I never thought about that.
And it's so clear.
Because it comes so natural to me. Yeah.
You're going through one of the most difficult things in your life, I can imagine, but you're thinking about how you can bring this to your friends and to other people and how you can make a difference in this industry. Like,
nice.
You're 1 year into that.
Wow. I never thought about that because, again, it comes so natural. It's like I'm so, if ever, authentic in that way that I'm not doing it to show off or, it's just so comes naturally to me because I've been doing it already for the longest time. I mean, like, my mom has taught us to, be always generous. And, we have this, my mother has this, it's called Sisters of Mary Girls Town, wherein they graduate 4,000 girls every year from high school. And this has been going on for years. So, the lives of all these, they keep them, house them, school them for 4 years of high school, poorest of the poor.
Wow.
And then when they get out, they're actually the smarter ones are able to go to college, but the others have a vocational, skill. And so they have elevated most of their lives to help also their family. And And so that has become part of our lives ever since. And so it comes naturally to me to always want to help, or, you know, and really be, you know, and you, I remember one of your questions were, is like, if there was one word, right? And then you said, like, if it was flamboyant, and I was thinking about word, and I said, like, you know what? I think my word is extraordinary.
Wow.
Wherein, you know, I have the type that I wanted to, anything that's just simple or ordinary and whatever, I'm always extra.
Yeah.
I'm always extra. And I love that about me. And sometimes I might be overboard in the sense that my kids are like saying, there's mom again, embarrassing us. Or my husband's like, always for the gram. And, you know, and I realized, yeah, I may be imbalanced in the sense that I should like tone it down. But I realized, this is me. This is who I am. This is like, I'm not doing this to hurt people.
Right.
I'm not doing this to, you know, with the intention of getting noticed or making us, you know, being out there for nothing. And yeah, you're right. Nice that you pointed out.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way, but thank you.
That's what it is, Unitessa. I recognize, and I'm seeing it as an objective outsider, right? I don't know you personally. So I can see you without the stuff that other people might, you know, throw into it, right? So what I'm seeing is, it's not the ego that I want to be noticed, that I, Tessa, want to be noticed, right? It's the statement I'm making. It's the message I'm giving. It's the person I want to be. It's how I'm expressing myself without the ego of, look at me, you know, I want you to see me. Does that make sense? It's like in the expression
yes, it does.
Of yourself. You are simply.
Thank you for that. I think it's I love that I have that impression on you as well, because then you know it's something that comes across in that sense,
yeah.
which I want to also be, you know, sort of, you know, the legacy that I, if ever I leave behind,
yeah.
Something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Nice.
And
thank you.
And, you know, it's such a great thing to share with our audience also, that sometimes when you make your purpose more than yourself, you know, more than you, but how you could make an impact or a difference. And it's, you know, whether it's something you choose to put out to the world or something you create, when there's a bigger mission than you, I feel like the universe supports you so much that your path is paved, you know, the success is guaranteed, right? You just have to put that effort
nice.
Into what you want to communicate.
I'm so excited. I'm feeling your energy. I'm feeling your energy as well. You know how, like, I don't mean to be an energy vampire, but
oh.
You know, I love it. I love it that, you know, this synergy we have and this thing. And again, what was that? We were supposed to have this before you delivered, and that your baby's this. And then, and, you know, I said, like, oh my God, when can we have it? And he said, you're ready to pop and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm happy. And then, you know, again, it's the realization that, you know, we are in this journey of life, and, you know, it's a continuous journey. It's nice to really just embrace everything that comes.
Yeah.
Good or bad, ugly. I mean, like, you know, it's always, again, a mindset
and
how you want to look at it.
Right.
You know?
Now, Tessa, I want to talk to you a little bit about well-being in general, right? So you come
okay.
from a Catholic background, but you're interested mm-hmm. in astrology and feng shui. And even before what you are going through now, you've already been interested in energy. You've already been sort of mm-hmm. exploring these things. I mean, now we're on, like, you know, major delving into it, but it was always there. So how did you get into that? How did you discover that there are all these other things to life, and why? Why were you even drawn to it in the first place?
I've been very sort of spiritual in the sense that I've always been, my moral compass has been really high, or in the sense that, you know, I was in a relationship before with my partner, sort of slash best friend, and I was confused because I said, like, it goes against my religion, but I love my partner, and you know, and then again, I was like, but I was a single mom, and yet I was with my partner then. And then I said, I was going against my parents and stuff. And so I was also confused in the sense that if you love a person for who they are, male or female, you know, it's what love is and where you want to be. But then again, I was confused. I said, like, how can the person I love be against what my principles are? And, you know, I wanted a family, I wanted this and that, like that. And somehow, because of my prayers and everything, it worked out. I met Dennis. So, and then, you know, she has become my best friend now, you know, it's so nice. And so, and she's also with another person now. It's so nice how things turned out.
Right.
And so how I got more into these energies, and I got into yoga with, again, Rosanne and others. I became a vegetarian. I got into really, really heavy, vinyasa and ashtanga and that. And then after that, I'm now into Bikram and Kundalini because of, and I realized, again, it's like, it's a sticky sort of, maybe I wouldn't call it a dilemma, but condition or state of being like, how can you believe in all these energies and still be Catholic?
Right.
Or like feng shui, which is the placement of the science of, you know, again, what you call that? Feng shui is like geomancer and, you know, that thing. How do you incorporate that when all you need is God? All you need is the Bible. All you need is that. Maybe the way I'm justifying it is like, we are energies, and yoga and all these other practices is not spiritual. It's not a religion. It's not like who you believe in. I still believe in God and all the saints and Mama Mary and all, but I have energies as well. So it's really for the diehard Catholic, that's wrong. But then again, in the end, it's my own me and my spiritual being and my, you know, I'm answerable only to God. So I guess, you know, what I'd say to justify sort of, I spend equal amount of time with my yoga and my Bible study or like my donations to the guru of whatever. I also donate to the church. I guess, again, I'm not saying what I'm doing is right or wrong. And it's my own belief and philosophy, you know. And how can you condemn someone who's Muslim or Protestant and everything? They it's like in the end, if you're a good person and, you know, and you're answerable to your own Allah or God and everything, it's like, who am I to say, hey, you're in the wrong religion?
Right.
So, and again, it's like calling me out. Oh, what are you wearing? It's like, oh, you look so plain. Again, that goes well. You know, it's the same. It's the same way.
It's a matter of perspective.
Exactly. Exactly. And you can call me out whatever you want. You can call me out like being, oh, you must have had a traumatic childhood or whatever. And, or you have always something to show off. Or that you have that affluence to do that. I mean, like, well, you know, you can bother yourselves and say whatever you have to say. It's whether, again, it's in a matter of perspective, do I actually receive your energy,
right,
or not? And if I do, I say, I'm more grateful. Thank you for noticing me. You want a picture?
Yeah. And what you're saying is, this is me. It's like that song from The Greatest Showman. You know, I love that song. And yes, she says, this is me.
Yeah. This is me.
Yeah.
This is
in all my glory.
Mm-hmm. Take it or leave it. And all my luggage and all my, you know, yeah, all my costumes, yeah, all my accessories. This is me.
Yeah.
This is me.
And it's a beautiful you. You know, that really deserves to be celebrated, to be seen and understood. Now, Tessa, we are getting to the end of the episode. Much as I don't want to end this conversation. I'm enjoying it.
We should have another after I have my session with you.
Yeah.
Because I'm excited to do that data healing.
Absolutely. Now, Tessa, before we go, can you share with us some of your favorite well-being practices that you really kind of want to share with others, you stand by, and your Project Loving Myself mantra? Any message or anything that really is important for you, for yourself, or to share with other people?
Mm-hmm. Okay. In my healing journey, I've started this. I'm telling you now, everything is YouTube. You just download 10-minute prayer. And so again, always start with a grateful heart. It just takes 10 minutes. When I've taken this, it's a life course sort of, it's called Tickled Pink of my friend Eileen Wan. And it's a 6-week sort of life coaching wherein she says, you got to go from point A to point B. You need to know what point B is. You need to be clear about your goal setting. And so she's had several exercises, which I can share. One of them is like, you know how you, and that goal needs to be quantified. It's easy if your goal is like weight loss or eating right or something. But what if your goal is to be more assertive and stuff like that, I want to be more organized and stuff. So what she says is your goal needs to be measured daily or weekly, wherein you can monitor like things. Like, for example, me. So my goal is to start this website or whatever or something. And so my daily sort of activity would be spend 10 minutes on finding a resource person for different things and have it in the, you know, like it's a piggy bank. Every day you have to make sure that your goal is fed daily. And so last year, although I didn't have a goal, it was more like, why? So then, so my sort of, you know, it's like less than is more Jesus and stuff like that. You know, I'm really now spending time and now I'm more clear about my point B. So I suggest, like, you know, for those that are in this crossroad or not even, it's always set aside. Just don't say I'm gonna do yoga for 30 minutes a day. No, that's too long. Start with baby steps, 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day. No ifs and buts. You know, just put on 10-minute prayer and just listen to it while you're in bed. And then always set aside throughout the day sort of like breathing exercises wherein you already sort of, and it's, I've heard it like for these people who are into like weight loss, you take 10 breaths before you start eating. So that means the excitement of eating and nourishing becomes food and becomes like a nourishing experience instead of feeding your hunger.
Right.
So if you do that, you take a you know, breath of fire and like, you know, that the sun says, and then you start doing your meal. Always, I've also started that with my kids, being present, meaning no phones on the table, no, really have conversations. And I think that was what remissed in my relationship. It's like it became, we had no daily conversations. I mean, real conversation. It was more like housework, whatever. So, and that one has to be during meals. I feel it's the best time. And it's the best time, like really disengage with the phone, you know? And lastly, I think, always try to make a difference. I mean, like, to somebody else. I mean, like, you have to, like, also, again, snippets and small, like the piggy bank, you know, that you have to do something small a day or meet somebody new or something like that.
Yeah.
Because then you are fulfilling a daily purposeful life instead of just once a year you have that thing. It's now I realize you have no more excuse now that, you know, the pandemic's here and stuff. So there, and then again, you have to spend at least equal of amount of time with your body, mind, and soul, is what I say. Right. And being present. I realize being present is like so necessary, especially when you're talking to someone. I notice that I'm like on my phone and just, you know, it's like, it's so disrespectful to the other person. And it's already given, especially to your family. I don't need to talk to my kids because I'm on my phone. And same with them. Oh, it's mom. It's just mom. It's just the kids. No, they're the most important thing.
Right.
You can't just say, you know,
we take the people we love for granted. And we shouldn't. We should be connecting. We should be connecting with them. And I think that's what we've lost over time is that connection with each other, which is what the pandemic has really highlighted. Exactly. That human connection.
Yeah. Mm.
What a beautiful message.
So there.
Thank you, Tessa. Mm. Thank you for this.
Oh, wow. I'm
great conversation.
And I'm so grateful we had this chance.
Me too.
Nice to really exchange energies with you.
It was really,
and I love your name.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. I really, really enjoyed it. I knew Tessa, right? I wrote to you and I was like, Tessa, I know we're going to have this great conversation. No pressure, but I know we're going to have this great conversation. So, and it was more than that. I mean, it was just, I think, such an inspirational conversation for everyone listening in. And thank you, Tessa. I know for sharing your just wonderful energy with us.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so delighted to be part of this show.
What an episode. This episode was not just about self-expression, but also about the impact we make on others. Share your first impression about Tessa when you saw her, and also let me know what you learned from today's episode. There were so many nuggets of wisdom to choose from. Tag at Project Loving Myself podcast and at Sanaya Gurnamal. And don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast. Goodbye for now with this quote for today, said by Oprah Winfrey. If we are really committed to growth, we never stop discovering new dimensions of self and self-expression. So go ahead and, as Madonna said, express yourself. Thank you for joining me this week on Project Loving Myself, brought to you by Podcast Network Asia and powered by Podmetrics. You are loved.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.